This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Republicans and Democrats continue to battle over whether to extend subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. Meantime, nearly a half million people in Illinois who get their insurance from the marketplace are weighing their options. That includes Evanston resident Lisa Winefield, who has not yet enrolled for 2026. She fears she won't be able to afford the premium increases. Winefield says her most pressing priority is scheduling doctor's appointments and health screenings before her plan is up at the end of this year.
I would die of colon cancer. You know, my dad did at 42. So it's the Affordable Care Act is literally keeping me alive. So, and I don't think that's an exaggeration to say.
The scheduled expiration of the federal tax credits is still up for debate. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is not giving up hope on legislation to crack down on homeowners' insurance price hikes. This comes after state lawmakers shot down a measure that requires insurance companies like State Farm to notify customers within 60 days of premium increases of at least 10%. The insurance industry opposed the bill.
What we want is for the insurance companies simply to show us why it's appropriate for them to raise rates by 27%. They didn't do that. They haven't done that. All they did was say, well, we had losses, so we're increasing by 27%. We don't know if the homeowners are being gouged.
Bloomington, Illinois-based State Farm this year raised homeowner premiums by an average of 27%, and Pritzker strongly condemned that move as being unfair. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is in the hospital with a rare neurological disorder. Jackson's Chicago-based Rainbow Push Coalition says the 84-year-old was diagnosed in April with progressive supranuclear palsy and is under observation. Jackson was told about a decade earlier he had Parkinson's disease, but he continued to make public appearances, including at the Democratic National Convention last year. Jackson has been unable to walk, so he relies on a wheelchair, and family members say in recent months he's been unable to speak. And after being in the works for more than a decade, the Obama Presidential Center in Chicago is just months away from opening. The $800 million project is set to open in the spring in historic Jackson Park on Chicago's South Side. Sun-Times architecture critic Lee Bay had an opportunity to tour the construction site, and Bay tells our In the Loop program that while the 225-foot museum tower seemed out of place when he first saw it from the outside, he felt better about the building's potential after touring the inside.
Once you get inside the building, and it's still very, very much under construction, I will say you do get a better sense of why the outside looks the way it does, which is actually what architecture is supposed to be, not just sort of cosmetic.
The center is comprised of four buildings, a museum tower, an auditorium, an athletic facility, and a Chicago Public Library branch. You're listening to The Rundown. When Chicago resident and U.S. Army veteran Miguel Perez Jr. was deported from the country he fought for, his community rallied to bring him home. His case has garnered national headlines. In 2019, Governor Pritzker pardoned his drug conviction, and that cleared the way for the combat veteran to become a U.S. citizen and return home. Now, Perez Jr. died unexpectedly last month. Friends, family, and elected officials gathered on Tuesday during a Veterans Day celebration in the Little Village neighborhood to celebrate his life and legacy. My colleague Maria Ines Zamudio has this remembrance.
Se ve, se siente. Miguel está presente. Se ve, se
on a windy, cold day, dozens of veterans, some wearing their military uniforms and medals, gathered to celebrate another Veterans Day by honoring immigrant soldiers. Green Card veterans, founding member Julio Cortez kicked off the community memorial on Tuesday.
Miguel Perez Jr. served two tours in Afghanistan. He came home with wounds you could not see, scars you could not hide, and instead of receiving the care he earned, he was betrayed by the government he swore to defend.
The wounded veteran fell through the cracks multiple times. When he was at war, former President George W. Bush promised expedited naturalization for active military members like him. That would have prevented his deportation years later. But that did not happen. After war, Miguel returned to Chicago with a traumatic brain injury. His oldest daughter, Daisy, remembers the difficult transition.
I noticed that my dad had a lot of paranoia, lots of paranoia. He's like, where's that phone? Where's that ticking from? And there's nothing on. The house, it's like 6 a.m, we're all still sleeping. What do you mean you heard something tick? I witnessed a lot of things.
Miguel sought help, but it didn't come soon enough. He started self-medicating, using drugs, which eventually landed him a 7-year prison sentence. Since he was a legal permanent resident, his felony drug conviction led to his deportation. I started interviewing Miguel in 2017 when he was inside a federal detention center in Wisconsin. He was deported in March 2018, and I was one of the first people he called. He was fearful of returning to Mexico, a country he left as a boy. When I visited him in Tijuana in 2019, I saw firsthand the depth of his PTSD. WBEC chronicled his mental health struggles while living in Tijuana after being deported. A few months after my story aired, his family and friends successfully advocated for Governor J.B. Pritzker to pardon him, clearing the way for Miguel to become a U.S. citizen and return home. Senator Tammy Duckworth has a long history of fighting for Miguel and other deported veterans. She even spent Veterans Day in Tijuana with Miguel and dozens of other deported veterans in 2019.
Miguel responded to extreme hardship with courage and determination. He took responsibility for his mistake. He paid his dues to society, and he dedicated himself to serving his fellow immigrant veterans who have been left behind by the country that they were willing to defend with their lives. Look, if you sign up to fight for this country, you should be able to count on your country fighting for you too.
Duckworth has introduced multiple bills to help deported veterans, including one that would allow them to obtain a visa to access medical services in the U.S. On Tuesday, she handed a framed photo of herself and Miguel sitting in her D.C. office to his family. She says she admired Miguel's activism.
He could have been bitter after what he was forced to endure, but that wasn't who Miguel was. No, instead, he chose to keep fighting for this country that had betrayed him. He turned around to continue his service by advocating for his fellow immigrant veterans.
Duckworth says she vowed to continue advocating for veterans like Miguel in honor of his legacy. For WBEC, I'm Maria Inés Zamudio.
Weather sunny and mild today, high in the mid-50s and then partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Friday, sunny, very pleasant, high in the mid-60s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.